Israel is God's timepiece. That much is clear from the scripture. Some, however, refuse to see the prophecies yet to be fulfilled concerning Israel as proof that God is finished with his people. Friends, listen to me. The church is not Israel. The church is not now, nor ever has been, the recipient of God's promises to Israel. The Abrahamic as well as the Davidic covenants have a yet future fulfillment. Because some people refuse to see that God is not done with Israel, they are confused about the Middle East turmoil, the supernatural intrigue, which continues unabated to this day. What can we learn about the present and what many believe to be the near future concerning Israel, Iran, Syria, and even Russia? Well, we'll sort all of this out today with my guest, Bill Salas, in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. You can find us on a lot of different platforms today. Worldview Weekend Radio, Global Star Radio Network, On the Objective on Spreaker. We're on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, Talk America Radio, that's talkamericaradio.us, and of course, soaringeagleradio.com. I'm joined today by Bill Salas. Bill is the author of Revelation Road, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, the Ancient Prophecy of Elam, and Psalm 83, The Missing Prophecy Revealed, among many other books and articles. In addition to being an author, researcher, and lecturer, Bill is also the radio host of the popular Prophecy Update radio program heard in Southern California and worldwide over the web at www.prophecydepot.com. Bill, welcome back to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me back. We've done some pretty good programs in the past, and I can't wait to see what happens with this one.
Amen, brother. We sure have. I appreciate you joining me again. Today's been a very interesting day, and I want to set this in a context for our listeners and then turn it over to you. We were chatting, Bill and I, before we went on the air, and wow, lots of things going on today that have some impact, or what I believe to be implications, prophetically speaking. But, Bill, as you know, President Trump recently withdrew the United States from what I consider to be the disaster known as the Iranian nuclear deal. But just prior to that occurring, you had an opportunity to join Dr. Hormaz Shariat, the founder of Iran Alive Ministries, on his satellite television program called Seven. And there's a reason why it's called Seven, and I'll let you explain that. This program is the most watched television show in Iran. You had the amazing privilege of sharing the gospel with Iranians and talking to them, prophetically speaking. I'm wondering if we could start our conversation today with some highlights from that appearance with Dr. Shariat.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Mike. What a blessing that was, what an opportunity that was to reach into millions of households in Iran. The chronology of events happened, they transpired this way. On May 2nd, Benjamin Netanyahu unleashed that intel capture of all those hundred thousands of documents about Iran's secret nuclear program. Many of your listeners may have seen that was a wonderful PowerPoint presentation he had done, just really convicting Iran, indicting Iran that they were had a secret nuclear program going and they had lied in the negotiations about that with the P5 plus one, et cetera. Well, then on May 8th, of course, Donald Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action deal. And Mike Pompeo recently came out afterwards and said that they were going to level unprecedented sanctions on Iran. And it'd be interesting, I can share a couple of what those are because they are unprecedented. But in between May 2nd, when the Netanyahu PowerPoint presentation was given on international TV and Donald Trump making this announcement, on the weekend of May 4th, 5th, and 6th, we had three different airings of this powerful program on Iran Alive Ministries, where we got an opportunity to present the gospel to the Iranians. The format was on their Nowruz, their New Year's holiday. Nowruz is, it's been celebrated, it's a Persian holiday that's been celebrated for over 3,000 years, as far back as the time of when King David was in Zion in Jerusalem. This Nowruz holiday goes way back to that point in time. And so we were trying to let them know, because these Iranians, of course, had seen, a lot of them had seen this intel presentation that Netanyahu did. They were anticipating what Donald Trump was going to do if he was going to withdraw from the JCPOA. And so we wanted to approach them on the, hey, listen, what does the future hold for Iran? Because, you know, certainly you're concerned about that. Will there be some sort of Middle East war? And how can we know the future? And we presented the fact that only if you want to know the future, the only one who can tell you that is the God of the Bible. And we quoted them Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So Hormoz and I had about an hour show. He's known, Joel Rosenberg calls him the Billy Graham of Iran. He has led countless Iranians to Christ, and so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But he translated in Farsi as I spoke in English, and I've been on the show several times. But this one was really timely and very powerful. And so we pointed out that the Bible actually talks about several things dealing with Iran. Its future, a couple of prophecies in Jeremiah chapter 49 dealing with Elam, and another prophecy in Ezekiel 38. But we wanted to start the program by talking about the good news that the God of the Bible has for Iranians. And we talked about Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so we started quoting them with some positive notes and really got them excited about what's going on in Iran. You know, and a lot of them already are aware of this fact that supernatural dreams, visions, and healings and miracles have been taking place. God is doing supernatural evangelism. The number one growing evangelical population in the world is in Iran at this point. So, you know, we were reaching out to them, and we wanted them to know that one of the most famous kings of the Bible was not even a Jewish king, a Hebrew king or a Jewish king. It was a Persian king named Cyrus, who they adore. On every Nowruz holiday in Iran, hundreds of thousands of them make pilgrimages to his tomb. He's one of the most celebrated individuals in Iran's history. And I wanted to let them know that the Jews knew about Cyrus before he was even born, before the Persians even knew who he was. And I quoted them in Isaiah 44:45 about how Isaiah had prophesied that Cyrus would be born. He called him by name. Now, Isaiah wrote in 740 to 701 BC in that time span, but Cyrus wasn't even born until 600 BC. So we announced the fact that when Cyrus had heard this prophecy, this is in the context, the Jews had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and then in 539 BC, the Persians with King Cyrus conquered the Babylonians. And when Cyrus was given the prophecy that Isaiah wrote, which said he would send the Jews back and they would rebuild Jerusalem and the temple and Judah, And Ezra, we get the historical account in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Cyrus was so overwhelmed when he saw what happened with the details of the prophecy that he had been called out by name that he believed in the God of the Bible. He was a good king. And then we showed them images of a coin with the Sanhedrin was trying to promote the building of the third Jewish temple, and they put out a coin and commemorating King Cyrus for what he had done when they went back and built their second temple. He sent them back to build the second temple, and with Donald Trump superimposed on it because he was the first national leader to move the embassy into Jerusalem, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So it was a very powerful show, and the reports we're getting is that many Iranians were moved by it, came to the Lord, etc. And then we went on, though, however, from there, Mike, to talk about the prophecy you mentioned earlier, and we talked about what is Iran's future? We brought the conversation back to the beginning. What is the future of Iran? What do you guys want to know? Well, Iran is in a different scenario now. They don't have a King Cyrus ruling the country, and there is a biblical prophecy that talks about a time when bad leadership is going to fiercely anger the God of the Bible, who Cyrus believed in. And he is going to create a disaster. And then we started the spinoff on the Jeremiah 49 prophecy of Elam. But it was a very powerful show. And then just a few days later, Donald Trump comes out and withdraws from the JCPOA. Now, this is very concerning to these Iranians right now because they're already dealing with a very impoverished scenario over there. Yes. And now they're very concerned about what's going to happen next. Will their leaders lead them to war, et cetera? So the timing was unbelievable. It had to be of the Lord, Mike.
Yes, absolutely, Bill. That is just a remarkable timing and opportunity. One of the things that listeners need to understand, I think most of our listeners do, Bill. Perhaps I should direct this toward Americans in general. Is there is a huge difference between the mullahs and the leaders of Iran and the average citizens. The citizens would like nothing better. From what I understand, Bill, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the majority of citizens would like nothing better than to throw off the shackles of this Islamic theocracy and become the nation with freedoms and everything that they had before the revolution. Is that an accurate statement, Bill?
Well, it hits it right on the hammer on the nail on the head because, and I'll start by mentioning what you mentioned at the top of the program, that the program that I was on is on the television network called The Seven. And the reason Hormoz calls it The Seven, and it's a satellite TV show, it's the most watched satellite TV show in all of Iran, is because Iran has six state-censored television networks. So Seven was sort of the I won't say mockery, but the word of, in other words, here's one you can't censor, number Seven. Mm-hmm. And it literally comes over the heads of the mullahs into the hundreds of thousands of households. One, it's very difficult for them to block it because, you know, most anybody can get a satellite over there.
Yes.
But also, they don't really know how to deal with it because he's not really political in as much as he's just, you know, reaching out and giving them good news and, you know, that sort of thing. So they really don't know exactly what to do with this program. But you're absolutely right in that when the Ayatollahs and the revolution came to being in 1979, it was under this Islamic promise that everything was going to be wonderful over there. And then they immediately embarked on an 8-year war of attrition with Iraq, and they have continued to let their peoples down. And meanwhile, 80% of the population is 35 years or younger, meaning they were born after the revolution, and they haven't seen nothing that Islam has promised to come through for them. So they are very disenchanted, and that's why so many of them are abandoning Islam. They really want to get more westernized, but they can't, and they've tried to protest, but this regime knows how to block those protests. They're actually starting to protest again right now, and the regime is very concerned about it because they're willing to give their lives now for a change in that area and in Iran. But, you know, one of the things that's an amazing phenomenon right now, if we get a chance to talk about it, is the supernatural scenarios that are going on over there. You know what? A good friend, a disciple of Hormoz Shariat's, is named Mansour, and he's in charge of about 3,000 of the Iranian pastors in the underground church. And the underground church is heavily persecuted. They've shut them all down. The pastors get imprisoned and beaten to a pulp, and pretty much any Christian at this point gets thrown in prison and is treated the same way. So, you know, it's a very frustrating situation. So what Mansour does with these pastors is they have a curriculum together. And what happens is, they get together and meet with someone, and that someone will bring together several other family members, and they'll just meet in the house, and they'll start talking through a series of lessons. And the first lesson they talk about is they draw everybody's attention to Adam. Adam is a, you know, a neutral figure that they all understand who Adam is. And then they have a great talk with them. And then the next week they'll come and talk about Noah. You know, they know who Noah is, and, you know, they haven't introduced Jesus Christ or anything like that. You know, a lot of these people are still Muslims, et cetera, that they're meeting in these households. And more people are starting to come. Then by the third week, someone has typically had a dream, vision, miracle, or healing. All of a sudden, the Lord is now working and fertilizing the soil with these meetings, right? So by the time the third lesson comes or so, they can't wait to hear what the guy's got to say. It's starting to make sense now that something's going on here for them. And then they talk about Abraham. And Abraham, of course, is a common patriarch between the Islam. You know, he was the father of Ishmael. They venerate him in Islam. And then, of course, of Judaism, Isaac and Jacob, and then also Christianity. So they introduce Abraham. And by the time they get in about the sixth or seventh lesson, after the sequence of events that they handle very delicately, this group is all primed pretty much to a man and woman to accept the Lord. When he introduces Yeshua, Jesus, to them, they pretty much all 100% receive him. And then what happens is they become a home church. And then they start the process of doing what they just did with that curriculum. It's an incredible phenomenon. Some of the stories about the dreams, visions, and healings are incredible. But this is a place where the Lord is rolling up his sleeves and going in there where missionaries scarcely can get into or don't want to get into. And the Lord is doing what he wants to do, which is make sure that no one perishes. And so you've got this dynamic going on underneath the whole scenario where the Islamic mullahs are trying to bring together their mati. They've got their eschatology. They want their Messiah to come. They want to create an apocalyptic condition. They believe that will bring the 12th Imam, their mati. And what a dynamic you got going on. And many of the younger generation want out. They want to change. And now they're hearing that there's going to be an area by the Persian Gulf in ancient Elam, where the Bushehr nuclear reactor is, hearing that, wow, there could be a disaster. There could be a nuclear disaster predicted in 596 BC by Jeremiah. And that's where we then took the program and started to alert them to that prophecy.
Wow. That's brilliant. Brilliant, Bill. I love the strategy that these missionaries are using. Can I call them missionaries? Is that an accurate description? I mean, they go into the houses they meet, and they slowly introduce the biblical text character by character, talking about things that are common ground that they can understand, leading up to the introduction of Jesus. That's remarkable.
Yeah, by a true definition, they would be called missionaries. You know what happens to a lot of the Iranians that become Christians? Because they don't have to have a visa, and there's no home churches really that they can be discipled at on any great level in Iran, they'll go to Turkey. And Turkey still has some home churches. Now, that window may shut pretty soon, but after 90 days, I believe it's 3 months they can go there, a lot of them are so impoverished they can't leave. So they go back into Iran, and they street witness, and they pass out Bibles, all to the potential imprisonment and sometimes pains of death. But they are so committed. They know, they count the cost of the cross, like Americans don't really quite understand, in my estimation. So it's a whole other world over there with what they're going through. I'm going to tell you one other story that Mansour shared with me, that he went down into southern Iran. This was, I think, just a couple years ago. And that's kind of by the border of Afghanistan, where you've got huge drug trafficking coming through there. Iran is a huge has a huge drug problem over there, and it is one of those countries that you've got the very rich and the very poor, and you don't have much in the middle. There's a lot of disparity between the rich and poor. So he'd heard this amazing story. So he went down there to interview this individual, this older guy who was living down there by the border on heavily drug trafficking routes. And Mansour gets down there, meets the guy, and the guy invites him in. It's like, nope, I don't think there was any electricity. It was like a dirt floor. He was very impoverished. And Mansour says, well, I heard this story about a stranger who came to you consistently, and he would talk to you, and that you wrote notes down. Can you tell me about this? So the guy starts talking. Well, the stranger showed up at my house one night. I answered the door. His countenance was so bright, I couldn't even really look at him in the face, and he asked if he could come in and talk to me. So he came in, and he said, I want you to start writing down what I'm going to say. So the guy started taking notes, and this went on, and then you know, fell asleep and the stranger came back the next night. There were several nights this happened, the same process. And then Mansoor said to the man, he goes, well, what did you write? And so the guy went in his room and brought out this notebook that he'd written. And Mansoor started to read it. And it was the whole book of John written in verbatim. And the stranger said, the stranger said to Mansoor, he goes, what does it mean? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he explained, he led the guy to the Lord through his own writing that must have been Jesus that gave to him, and explained to him that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this guy became a believer. And the reason I like to share that story with your audience is because sometimes we forget that Jesus is a very personal Savior. I mean, he would have died for any one of us. And of course, we're all blessed to receive him. All who receive him will have eternal life, not perish. But he went to a guy who was impoverished. I'm not even sure he had a full set of teeth. And I say that tongue in cheek because this is a very powerful miracle. In other words, if he would go to this guy and have a personal relationship with him and perform such an amazing miracle with this guy, he would do that for every individual in the world. That's how much he loves every individual. So I like to share that story with people because it makes us realize, hey, he is an active, personal Savior who wants none to perish. And that's a story that's just one of many stories that we hear about coming out of Iran.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue, Bill, into staying with current events just for a little bit longer. There was a lot of activity over there today, a lot of rockets fired from into Israel. I wonder if you'd give us an update on what's going on over there today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because at the undercurrent of what we got going now with Donald Trump withdrawing from the JCPOA on May 8th and Pompeo coming out shortly thereafter on May 21st, just a few days ago, and issuing 12 demands on Iran. I'm going to read just a couple of them because I believe it segues into some of the events that we saw actually happen with the blow up with Hamas today and the Gaza. They fired over 70 missiles into Israel. I mean, this is huge. It's reminiscent of the Operation Cast Lead several years back. That was a major scenario between Israel and the Hamas. But Pompeo came out and said that Iran, I'm not going to read all 12 of these, but they must stop enriching uranium. Well, it's interesting because just the other day, a leader from Iran had met with the P5+1 members, apart from America, and other international leaders, and said, we can start enriching uranium to 20%, which you can put into a nuclear weapon up to 20%. It's best if you have 80%, but you can, with 20%, you can still get a nuclear warhead together. We can do that again in 2 to 3 days. This is news that just came out. Now, Pompeo said, you have to stop uranium enrichment. Well, the leader of Iran said at this meeting that, you know, you people need to remedy us. We're already starting to feel a pinch on these unprecedented sanctions that America is going to lay on us. You guys need to put a remedy together or we will back out of this deal and start enriching uranium again in just a matter of 2 to 3 days. This means they can have a nuclear warhead in very short order, Mike. So he says you won't be able to enrich uranium. We've already got a stalemate right there. He said, you've got to stop the proliferation of your ballistic missiles. Iran has said they will not do that. They've got to end their support of the Middle East terrorist groups. And this is where we get about what might be going on even today. The Hezbollah, the Hamas, of course, Syria, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Well, the missiles, the people who took claim for those missiles today on May 29th in Israel were the Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Also included in that list, you have the Houthis who, on the day Trump pulled out on May 8th of the JCPOA, they fired more missiles at Riyadh into Saudi Arabia. So basically what the concern is with Hamas, we're starting to wonder, you and I had this conversation, while Iran is trying to ratchet up the pressure on the international community to make good on that Iran nuclear deal, are they going to keep a fever pitch going with the Hamas and the Palestinian Jihad? I mean, 70 missiles just today. Houthis firing missiles into Saudi Arabia. Are they keeping pressure on the Middle East to say, listen, do you want more of this or do you guys want to come to the table and work a deal out with us? I'm speculating here, but we are seeing, I don't believe it's a coincidence that we're seeing Hamas acting out at this point. But this was a powerful day correlating with the fact that they're trying to get concessions by May 31st. That's what they want to deal by May 31st with the remaining members of the P5+1, Also, the other thing that will be a no deal, a deal breaker on these demands, is that America expects Iran to withdraw all forces under Iranian command throughout the entirety of Syria. And they've already said, we will not do that because we've been invited there by the administration of Bashar al-Assad. Also, that America will not allow the waterways to be choked off because Iran has threatened to choke off the Strait of Hormuz and block world oil from getting out, which is still about a third of the world oil goes there, out to the world through the Strait of Hormuz. So I'm pretty concerned that we're going to see this thing escalate into a war, and that may be where we get into the other prophecy about Iran that's not in Ezekiel 38, that is in Jeremiah 49, dealing with Elam, that area of Iran that hugs the Persian Gulf.
Folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We've got a lot more to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Clean Foods for You is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our stringent quality controls and absolute zero GMO and testing for heavy metals makes us unique in the storable foods market. Try our products today and join the many others in discovering the best clean foods available in the storable food market. Order online at www.cleanfoodsforyou.com.
Dr. Mike Spalding has hit a home run with his new book, hashtag MTPGA, Make the Pulpit Great Again, 12 Things Christians Can Do Right Now. In Make the Pulpit Great Again, Dr. Spalding has addressed some of the gravest ills plaguing the American pulpit. Only through a policy of complacency and compromise adopted by the nation's pastors has the once great United States ceded the moral high ground and set the standard for the rest of the world in pornography, addiction, privation, and the murder of untold millions killed in state-sponsored, taxpayer-funded abortion mills. The words in Dr. Spalding's book contain the secret to restoring this country to her former glory. For if we are ever to make America great again, we must first have a national call to repentance by our church leaders. We must make the pulpit great again. Available on Amazon and other retail sellers.
Hi friends, Works LLC is a manufacturer of custom-made holsters, mag carriers, knife sheaths, and accessories. Works is your one-stop shop for high-quality inside or outside the waistband concealed carry holster. Works LLC is a Christian and family-owned and operated company that values made in the USA. They are a proud sponsor of Soaring Eagle Radio. Visit Works LLC, www.werkz.com, works.com, and when you do, tell Shan that you heard about them on Soaring Eagle Radio. Works LLC, 855-937-5901, 855-937-5901, Works LLC. Hi, folks. Thanks for checking out our sponsors and telling them thank you for supporting Soaring Eagle Radio. And that was, again, our listeners, you recall, Bill mentioned that just in passing when he was on with Dr. Shiriat, but that is actually a very prominent prophecy, the Elam prophecy. And again, the scripture, folks, Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. And this is the reason why we're talking about Iran, because this prophecy is specific to Iran, and it speaks really quite clearly, in my view, and I know that's your view too, Bill, of some very serious trouble that's coming to that nation, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and the details of the prophecy, it's hard to walk away from reading them and not think that this is not reflecting a nuclear scenario, a nuclear disaster. The verses we're talking about, we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 49. They're only six verses, but they're very powerful and they're very timely. And we pick up verses 34 through 39. And Mike, this has been a vastly overlooked prophecy that is just now really sort of, I've exposed it in my book called Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Revealing the Ancient Prophecy of Elam, which is a book and also put into a DVD. But Jeremiah wrote this prophecy around 596 BC. His contemporary Ezekiel wrote Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel talks about Persia. Jeremiah talks about Elam. And so Ezekiel wrote his prophecy about Persia probably 1 to 2 decades after Jeremiah wrote this prophecy. So this prophecy actually was on the parchments before Ezekiel, penned Ezekiel 38. And I say that because one of the more popular end times Bible prophecies that most everyone's aware of who studies prophecy on any level is Ezekiel 38. That is a huge prophecy. So we've got this other prophecy, though, that many people have not paid attention to. And when you look at a map today of Iran, you would see that about two-thirds or four-fifths of it is Persia, but about one-fifth of it is that Elam territory. They've always been geographically isolated by the Zagros Mountains, and Elam is where the Bushehr nuclear reactor is. It's the Bushehr province is there. It's the crown jewel nuclear program, first one opened by Iran. Russia and China have contracts to build more nuclear reactors in this area. It's a strategic target to be struck. It is loaded with Russian fuel rods. It is a nuclear disaster waiting to happen. And it is the subject of this prophecy of six verses. So, you know, time permitting, we'll break this prophecy down. I have it sort of summarized. I've taught on it so much that people will understand why this is a prophecy I believe we should be on the watch out for. I think this prophecy could actually precede Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, and Psalm 83, and Ezekiel 38, and other various prophecies. Yeah. So I really am trying to get this prophecy out into the attention of the viewers' audience. But also, this is the prophecy we talked about on concluding Hormoz Shariat's Iran Alive television show on that Nowruz special. Mm-hmm. And it was powerful, what we told them, the Iranians.
How about if I read it, Bill, in its entirety, Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, and then you can comment on it.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay. Guys, Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, and I meant guys in the most generic sense, ladies. That which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the finest of their might, and I shall bring upon Elam the four winds from the four ends of heaven, and shall scatter them to all these winds, and there will be no nation to which the outcasts of Elam will not go. So I shall shatter Elam before their enemies, and before those who seek their lives, and I shall bring calamity upon them, even my fierce anger, declares the Lord, and I shall send out the sword after them until I have consumed them. Then I shall set my throne in Elam, and I shall destroy out of it king and princes, declares the Lord. But it will come about in the last days that I shall restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord.
Right, and the comment you just made in verse 39, the last days, or in some translations, the latter days, the same two Hebrew words used by Ezekiel when he talks about Ezekiel 38 occurring in the latter days or last days. So we find ourselves dealing with two prophecies dealing with Iran in the end times, the latter days. You talk about this burden was given to Jeremiah during the reign of King Zedekiah. He was the last Jewish king before they went into Babylonian captivity. So we have a date here around 596 BC, as I stated earlier. So we find the first four verses are detrimental to the country of Iran. The last two verses are actually quite encouraging. And there's a backstory to that about the spiritual showdown going on in Iran. We'll talk about that as we talk about the bad news for Iran. But what he says initially is Jeremiah is telling us there's going to come a time where there'll be bad leadership. It won't be like King Cyrus. It'll be bad leadership. And the reason we know that, because in verse 38 you read, it says, And I will destroy from there the kings and the princes, says the Lord. Why would he destroy good leadership? He would not have destroyed King Cyrus, of course. King Cyrus became a believer. So we find out the reason he's going to destroy the bad leadership is because they want to launch something lethal somewhere. And we find that out in the very opening of the prophecy in verse 35. He says, because he's not going to allow that to happen. He's going to break their bow, the bow of Elam. And you read it, the finest of their might. Some translations say it, the chief place of their might, or the foremost place of their might. So what we have right here, since it's a latter days prophecy and we don't see Iran abandoning their current military prowess, we're not talking about a literal boat. We're talking about something that launches something somewhere, something powerful at the foremost of their might. It's so concerning to the Lord that he's going to prevent it. He's going to break their bow at the foremost of their might. Now, this obviously, he wasn't concerned about this going into those missiles into Iraq during that war of attrition between 1980 and 1988. So we're talking about something else. And of course, Iran has vowed that they want to wipe Israel off the map. They're working on their ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. That's one of the very things Pompeo demanded they would have to stop, is the continued development of their ICBMs. And so they want to launch something somewhere. The Lord's going to stop that. And that at the foremost of their might today would more than likely be their nuclear program, a nuclear weapon perhaps. And of course, we just had the leader of Iran saying we can enrich uranium to that potential of 20% in 2 to 3 days at this point. So I see this as being, what are we talking about? Are we talking about they want to launch a nuclear weapon at Israel? We don't have a destination there or anything, but the Lord's going to stop that. He's going to break their bow. And then we find out that it might have nuclear implications, because you read in verse 36 that the Lord's going to bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter all of those Elamites toward all those winds. It says there'll be no nations, plural, where the outcasts of Elam don't go. The indigenous population, when this, it says there'll be a disaster, when this disaster happens, when the bow is broken at the foremost of their might, the indigenous population is forced to scatter. It sounds like a humanitarian crisis is causing this issue, and it goes to all the different nations. And so, you know, again, that's where the nuclear reactor is, and more to come in that area right there by the Persian Gulf. And so then he goes on to say that he will be shattered. You translated it. Some translations say that Iran will be dismayed. Elam will be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. We find out that today Iran has a menu of enemies. Israel is concerned. They don't want Iran to get the nuclear weapon. The Saudis and the Sunni states are concerned about Iran because they're trying to force their grip, their hegemony throughout the Middle East, and produce their Shiite theology, impose their Shiite theology all over the Sunnis over there. They're enemies. We've got the international communities concerned about Iran. We've got, that's why we negotiated the JCPOA deal with them, because we want them to stop spreading their terror throughout the world. We want them to stop working on their nuclear program. And we don't want them to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. So we see the menu of enemies exist, that detail is fulfilled. And so therefore he says, the Lord says, I'm so angry that you want to launch something lethal. I'm going to stop that. And as a result, the byproduct of that will be, there will be a disaster. He says, I will bring a disaster upon them because of my fierce anger, says the Lord. And he says, I will send the sword after them until I've consumed them. Now, typologically in the Bible, sending a sword after someone to consume them typically is a military terminology, a military invasion. So the bottom line, in a real encapsulated nutshell, I believe at this point in time, the Lord's fiercely angry with the leadership of Iran. They want to get a nuclear weapon. They want to launch it on an ICBM. They want to take Israel off the map. And God's got plans for Israel. He's made promises he's got to keep through Israel. If they were to prevail and wipe Israel off the map, that would be a very embarrassing situation for the Lord. It will not happen. There's a very interesting quote I like to read when, you know, we had this one news headline came out not too long ago. It was on April 17th, and an Iranian army guy, Brigadier General Qiyum Mazhari, had warned Israel to no longer threaten the Islamic Republic. He said, here's the headline, the date has been set for Israel's destruction. So again, they want to wipe Israel off the map. And here's what I say that headline should have read. Iranian scientists have figured out how to measure the heavens and alter the ordinances of the constellations. Israel is set for destruction. And then I would read this to them. I would say, the only way you can destroy Israel, there is a way to destroy Israel. It's specified in Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 7. It says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night. Who disturbs the sea and its waves roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. And he goes on to say, or, thus says the Lord, if heaven can be measured and the foundations of the earth can be searched out, then he goes on and talks about the same type of thing, then I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all they have done. So, you know, the bottom line is we have to ask Iran, Are they prepared to change the ordinances of the heaven? Can they measure the heavens? Can they do those types of things? Because if not, they're going to be the one that is destroyed. And this is the disaster that I believe the Lord is talking about. And of course, that also gets compounded in the Ezekiel 38 prophecy with Persia. And I do see these as two distinctly different prophecies. I have an article on that at prophecydepot.com. Is Ezekiel 38 and Jeremiah 49 the same prophecy? And I give the various reasons why they're not, and why Ezekiel 38 prophecy is subsequent to this one, in my estimation, in Jeremiah 49. But while I end this section right here, I want to tell you the good news, though. That's the bad news. There's going to be a disaster. It's probably going to be nuclear, and it's probably going to be soon, because I think the Lord is fiercely angry with Iran, and they are rapidly approaching the ability to get a nuclear weapon and to launch it at Israel. He says in verses 38 and 39, I will set my throne in Elam. Now, that word throne is K-I-S-S-E, kisei. It's the same word used in Isaiah to say that earth is my footstool, heaven is my throne. And it's the same word used in Jeremiah 3 that talks about the throne of the Messiah will be in Jerusalem during the Messianic Kingdom. So this has got Hormoz Shariat of Iran Alive Ministries and many Iranians excited. His mission statement is based upon this verse, I will set my throne in Elam. And his mission statement is transforming Iran into a Christian nation in this generation. And the other consoling news they have, it says that after those exiles are dispersed, when the four winds of heaven are drawn and the nuclear disaster, if that's what it is, happens, he says, I will restore their fortunes in the latter days. I will bring them back into the land of Elam. So they've got two verses of good news that have got many Iranians excited. And so we had to share this whole prophecy with them in that TV show. And then just days later, Donald Trump withdraws from the nuclear deal with Iran. And now we see the rhetoric is just, you know, the rumors of war, the sabers are out rattling, the rumors of war are happening. And Hamas has launched 70 missiles today as we speak into Israel. One landed right by a kindergarten. I understand recently that six soldiers were injured. I mean, you know, this is really, this is no longer throwing stones at Israel. We've got a pretty big episode going on we need to watch for right now.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate you tying Isaiah 19, verses 24 and 25 in there too, Bill. Egypt, Assyria, or Iran, Persia, and Israel in the millennium. That is a fan. Yeah, that it doesn't get any more hopeful than that, does it? I mean, to tell a people under oppression that, listen, the day is coming when the Lord is going to redeem you. Salvation is coming to Iran. Wow.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to go to Isaiah 19 real quick, because we find out in various verses, certainly, that there'll be a faithful Jewish remnant. We call them the faithful remnant of Israel. Yes. But a lot of people didn't realize that there'd be a remnant of Iranians. We just read that in Jeremiah 49. Yes. A remnant of Jordanians. We find that out elsewhere. But also, here's what it says about Assyria and Egypt and Israel. And it says in Isaiah 19, it says, in that day, speaking of verse 23, in that day when the Messianic Kingdom is established, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria. And the Egyptians will serve the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three, with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Now, you know, folks, everybody except Israel that we just mentioned in those equations are Muslims right now.
That's right.
And Muslims are not going to survive into the Messianic Kingdom. They're worshiping a false god.
That's right. Yeah.
So what we're talking about here is a remnant within those current Muslim countries that will come to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're already seeing that happen on a pretty wide scale, especially in Iran, especially in these Syrian refugee camps and elsewhere. But there's going to actually come a time where many, many of these different countries, populations of these countries, will actually understand that Islam is a false religion and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bill, this would be a good time then to go ahead and start talking about Ezekiel 38:39, how Iran is represented there. Clearly, Iran is mentioned, but those who serve Iran's interests in the region are not mentioned. Now, that should cause people to pause and say, now, that means that things as they stand today are not going to stand in the future, because it seems very odd on the surface. So my question is twofold as you discuss Ezekiel 38. Number one, what does the Ezekiel 38 prophecy say specifically? And I know you've spoken about this often. And then secondly, who is part of this key prophecy? Because there are many nations and things identified very clearly in this prophecy, aren't there?
Yes, and this prophecy is 52 verses contained in Ezekiel 38 and 39, some of the most descriptive details within biblical predictions that you will find within the entire Bible. And I believe that was intentional by it from the Lord's perspective, because it is a marquee event in the end times, through which we're told in Ezekiel 39 verse 7 that the Lord is going to get full acclaim for defeating these countries that come against Israel in the end times. And it says that once that happens, and we'll talk about how that happens as we describe the battle, he says that he will have made his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel. They, his people Israel, will not profane it anymore, and the nation shall know he is the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. So he says, I'll make my holy name known through the midst of my people Israel. So therefore that required Israelis, Jewish people living in the land of Israel, and it goes on and says they will know I'm the Holy One in Israel. So they had to be in the land. Of course, this is what Iran wants to wipe them off the map. The Arabs of Psalm 83, the Hamas, Hezbollah, they want to take them off the map. You know, the bottom line is that's not going to happen, because the Lord is going to fulfill this prophecy. We've got the Jews in the land there, and they're going to stay there, and he's going to be able to pull them in there with this Ezekiel 38 prophecy. Now, when we talk about the parties involved, it's interesting because we have a lot of people right now, Mike, good solid teachers, Amir Sephardi, Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Ron Rhodes, and others, Andy Wood. Well, not so much Andy Wood. I think he puts Ezekiel 38 more into the tribulation. But there's plenty of guys that are very qualified that believe Ezekiel 38 is actually the prophecy to be watching for in the very near future. I dare to say they might consider it imminent at this point, and I don't. I believe there's some preconditions that stand in the way of it, and I believe the Jeremiah 49 prophecy we just talked about will actually precede it as well. Okay. It's interesting because what you see in Ezekiel 38 verses 1 through 6 is a list of the participants, and right at the top of the list you have, by their ancient names, Turkey and Russia, but you don't see Persia get listed, Iran listed, until you get down to verse 5, and they're listed there with Ethiopia and Libya. Why aren't they, because they're very powerful right now, why aren't they not listed up there with Russia and Turkey? They sort of get an honorable mention down there with those other smaller countries. And I think that may, this is me, you know, speculating and taking liberties here, but that may be because the Iran involved in Ezekiel 38 is not the Iran we see today. Something might happen like the Jeremiah 49 prophecy that sort of compromises them immensely. But nonetheless, if I'm correct, they are certainly in the prophecy. Now, the reason I say that is that if Ezekiel 38 is about to happen now, why are there proxies who are so, you know, out of control right now, Syria, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis, why are they missing in action? They don't show up in Ezekiel 38. So I find it fascinating, and I wrote an article on that. Iran is in Ezekiel 38, but why not their proxies? Why are they missing in action?
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio Program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.